Well, Hunter, I just want to tell you that your mom's been, that's okay, come on up. Your mom's been scheming for a while, and so she has a little plan for you today, and I'll let Stacy introduce the song. Yeah, you can use that one right there.
So, a year ago, about, I took a very angry young man to a Teen Challenge program. He hated me, hated everybody, hated himself. First 3 months were rough. He ran away because they were shoving Jesus down his throat. He cussed out every counselor there. He even punched out a few of his fellow classmates and did some pretty nasty pranks. By the end of the third month, and I want you to know this church and a few others in this room were praying for him the whole time. By the third month, things started to change. My phone calls with him were a little better. Before, he wouldn't even talk to me. He was a little more humbled. And by the fourth month and my first visit to go see him at Teen Challenge, the second I looked at him, I knew there was a change. We spent the first whole day talking about everything. He was trying to wrap his head around the God stuff, which I got. It's a lot to take on. But I could already tell his heart had been invaded. I went home that night to the hotel, and I just cried from joy and gratitude. The next day was just as awesome as the first. And the end of the day, we sat down on this couch in the foyer of Teen Challenge. And he grabbed my phone, and he said, "Oh, Mom, I want to play you my new favorite song." And I hesitated because his choice in music at that time was not something I like to listen to. Is that a nice way of putting it? So I cried as he played this Bethel song. I played it the whole way home on the plane, crying. Didn't care what kind of idiot I looked like. I was so just full of joy. It also has a cello part in it, which encouraged me for some crazy reason to pull an instrument out I haven't touched in 30 years. I also play this song whenever I miss him, which is all the time. So as a welcome to you and as a gift, kind of a gift, these guys have agreed to help me play this song for Hunter.
Thank you. The story you're about to hear is true. No names have been changed, because there are none innocent, no, not one, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. Our names remain the same because we are sinners that are redeemed by the grace of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of you who have your names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, it is there forever. And so there is no need to change the name. Today is a story about God. A God who loves us in our most desperate times and in our most ugly moments as sinners. Today at True Life Church, we once again set aside time in our week to make an honest boast about a great God and a wonderful Lord. We are here to celebrate the power of God as we acknowledge that God is the God of the redeemed. God is the God of the reclaimed. God is the God of the renewed. Many times during my ministry practice, I've had people ask me, "Why doesn't God perform miracles like he used to?" To which I say, look around the room. Every life that has been rescued by the grace and the mercy of God who has received eternal life is a miracle of God. Every life once controlled by the power of sin and death that is now free from the snare of the devil and the work of the flesh, that is a miracle of God. It is true that some stories may be more dramatic than others, and that's simply because some of us have lived out our capacity to sin and become more entrenched in our sin than others have. But the real story is this, that no matter where you have been, no matter what you have done in life, God loves you. Christ died for you. And God wants you to be part of his family. Set free from sin, free from harmful addictions that are offered so freely to us by this world, and free from the pain of being ensnared and controlled by evil things that destroy lives. Today we celebrate a real life story. A true story, a miraculous act performed by God that only happens when a young man in his most desperate moment is willing to humble himself before God and finds not only redemption unto eternal life, but as well he finds and discovers the new life that Christ has brought to him on this earth, a new direction, a new strength, a new opportunity to live. This is a story about how God makes a difference. When a person opens his heart to God and allows God to be Lord of his life rather than an addiction to sin. During my years of ministry, it has remained a mystery to me how people who have been ensnared and pain and trapped in painful addiction that when offered the freedom that Christ offered would turn away and choose to sin over the Savior. Now this morning you may be here visiting True Life Church because you share in Stacy's joy and in Hunter's joy and in the family's joy of the miracle that God has begun in Hunter's life. For Hunter, this journey has just started. There are many miles left, young man, in this journey to travel. The battle isn't over with yet. However, today we rejoice in the progress made. The direction that Hunter's feet are pointed in and the progress that he is making. We rejoice and celebrate for God for his goodness to this family and to this young man. So it's with a heart of gratitude that I stand before you today, because as you as a church took seriously the challenge a year ago to pray consistently and constantly for this young man, that the God of grace and mercy heard your prayers. And the God of grace and mercy spoke to a young man's heart. And that young man opened his heart to God. And his life has been transformed. Before Hunter comes, I have a video to share with you. And the quality of the picture isn't as good as I like, but the words are great. So listen to this song, and then I'm going to invite Hunter to come and share with us.
If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Personal relationship with God. For that is the only thing that can redeem, that is the only thing that can reclaim, and that is the only thing that can renew. Hunter, come on, buddy. Wasn't sure a year ago I could say, Hunter, welcome to the pulpit. But welcome to the pulpit. Look forward to hearing what God's doing with you.
Thank you. I'm going to try to get through this without crying. I promised myself I came in here, I'm going to try not to cry, but it's too late. He was right. A year ago, if you said that I was going to speak at a church, I would have told you you were absolutely crazy and get out of my face, but probably a few different choice words. I know this congregation has been praying for me for the past year. As my mom has told me, and I'm here to let you know, your prayers have worked beyond what I could have ever asked for, what my mom could have ever asked for. I guess where it starts was growing up, I did not have a very easy childhood. A lot of anger, a lot of alcohol and drug use in the family with my biological father. I watched him inflict trauma and pain on my family and me, ever since really I can remember. I watched him growing up just do ridiculous things. And there's countless times that I've seen that really burrowed into my mind that I never want to be like that ever. And I think about 10 years old, my parents filed for divorce. My father lost his visitation due to drug use and alcohol use and just couldn't really hold it together. And since then, I really haven't heard much of him, haven't really seen him. That was about six, seven years ago. But today, I'm okay with that because I've found forgiveness. Because if I can be forgiven, he can be forgiven. And that's where my road started, with coming to God and coming to make a realization that the path that I was going down was very dangerous and very very devastating to everyone around me at the time and to me. But I remember it started in high school. Just coming into high school, I was an avid snowboarder and I was surrounded with a lot of snowboarding culture with comes with drugs and alcohol and partying and yeah, dude. I fell into that very quickly. It did not take very long for me to start experimenting with other drugs, experimenting with heavy drugs, and falling into a very quick and rapid drug addiction. There's a bunch of madness that came with it, a bunch of craziness. been in and out of rehab, in and out of juvenile detention. Still couldn't get a hold of it. Could not grasp any sort of or any motivation to change, because I still wanted to do what I wanted to do for some reason, even though it was inevitably destroying my life and destroying really everything around me and everything that meant truly meant something to me, whether if it was a family member, a very close friend, athletics, school. It's amazing that drug addiction is amazing how it masks your innermost persona and personality, and really defects your morals in multiple different ways. And I remember the week before coming into Teen Challenge, and when I was told by my probation officer that I had two choices, and it was juvenile detention and the court's way, and I didn't trust the court at all, or my mom's way to go to Teen Challenge for however long, I didn't know how long at the time, which resulted in, when I found out how long it was, which resulted in some bad news. But, and by, thank God, something in the back of my mind told me that I needed to do my mom's way, and I did. And I remember Pastor Kent Morrison helped escort me down to, I woke up actually very hungover, 5 o'clock on, I believe, Friday or Saturday morning, and Saturday morning at 4:30 in the morning or somewhere around there, and two police officers in my room, and Pastor Ken saying, "We're going to Teen Challenge." And compliantly, got on the plane, flew to wherever I am at in Missouri. I'm living there for almost a year. I still don't even know where I'm at. And it was at a bad time of the season too, because I remember it was right before Thanksgiving, right before Christmas, right before snowboard season, and it was heartbreaking for me to miss out on. Went down to the hotel, and decided, you know what? They don't know their way around here. So I ran away from the hotel, and then realized I don't know my way around here. And then, of course, right when I run from the hotel, probably the most intense lightning storm and rainstorm I've ever seen came down and got soaking wet. And there I see Pastor Ken again. I was hitchhiking on the side of the road, and he pulls up, and I get in the car, not knowing it was, I'm like, "Oh, thank you so much for picking me up." That was a God thing, for sure. But how it rained, and I remember a month into the program, I broke out of a window at 2 in the morning with a fire extinguisher and two other guys in the program running away. Lasted 24 hours, got picked up by the police, and came back. And of course that night it rained. It was 20 degrees and freezing rain. I don't know why it wasn't snowing, it was icing. So we were sleeping in a shed, building a fire to keep warm for that 24 hours. And then I got back, and I was out of hope, and I was out of hope the whole time, but that's when I really realized it. I didn't know what to do. I know there was no way out of this place that I was in, and I know there was no way that it came down to the realization that if I kept doing what I was doing, the places I could end up were 10 times worse than where I was at. And that's the harsh reality. Anyway, I'm kind of rambling. I'm not used to drinking energy drinks. We're not really allowed to have caffeine that often. When I made the decision to get saved, it wasn't a sort of punch in the face sort of feeling, like this electrifying feeling that everyone described it. It wasn't that at all. But even though I was looking for that, because I remember praying, if God is real, if you are real, I remember praying to him one night, if you are real, you need to show me, and you need to show me in a way that I can understand it and that I can fully believe it. And I was looking for this electrifying feeling the whole time of finding God and feeling God's presence. And I did not find it at the time, because God has showed himself to me in ways that I've never asked for, but he makes it clear to me that he's there. When I got saved, things started slowly but surely coming together. I started getting things back that I never thought I would get back before. A relationship with my mom, happiness, and then it goes farther and farther than that. The happiness, the peace. I was smiling again. I was engaging in the program. I was engaging in school. I started to kind of open my mind to what the future holds, and I got athletics back. I got to go play soccer with this college, and that was wonderful. I dropped out of high school my sophomore year because I was so lost in drug addiction and so lost with whatever reality really was. And now I have got the blessing that I can do college courses, and I've been doing college courses. I've been doing my best in them, and that's a huge blessing to me. And all these things that are happening in my life is a huge blessing to me. God has had his hand on me my entire life. And it took me too long to realize that. But once I realized it, and once I started to pursue it, the saying of you're a drug addict, you are going to be this way for the rest of your life, you are not capable of doing these things, all of a sudden went away. What I'm trying to say is my life has completely changed, and completely opposite. I'm saying opposite. I ran a marathon last week. From smoking 26 unfiltered rolled up cigarettes a day to running 26 miles. I guess that's an opposite in itself. I'm so thankful, and I'm so thankful for this congregation. And I 100% believe that the power of prayer and the grace of God is absolutely amazing, and it holds power beyond any of our comprehension. And I'm a product of that, and as many others are a product of that. I am lucky to be here today. When I think of God's grace, it's something I don't take lightly. Just because when I think of God's grace, I think of all the things God has kept me from and all the things God has saved me from. We are attending a funeral today of a young man who had a heroin overdose. Last Tuesday. And that's where the road ends. And it absolutely kills me to see, and he's not the first one that I have known or I have seen in the past year that has passed from these things. And some people don't get the second chance that I had, that I've got, or the 25th chance that I had. And that's God's grace to me. To me, it doesn't matter if you're a drug addict, if you are so addicted to heroin that you are on the brink of death, or if you are locked up in a jail cell for however long, or if you're a billionaire working in Rockefeller Center, God is going to be there, and God is in your life, and God will be in your life, and God has been in your life. Whether you know it or not. I am so grateful for where I'm at today. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I haven't been this happy since I was about 6 years old, back when I had really nothing to worry about. I haven't felt this much peace in my entire life. It's been too long since I've been able to smile like this. And that's where God has been. And that's where God will be. That's where God is for me right now. The future holds a lot of blessings. And there is a lot of worry with that that comes in my mind, but God's there, and God's going to be there. And there is no doubt in that. There is none at all. And if I fall, which I will because I'm not perfect, God will be there to pick me up again, as he's done for my entire life. Thank you, all of you, that have been praying for me. Thank you for everyone who has been in my life. This feeling of peace that I've had is way beyond anything that any drug or any substance could ever match up to, ever. So, that's it.
I want to tell you the true story about this rainstorm. Because it's important for Hunter to know this. When we left on the journey to take Hunter, I had contacted several people and I said, we need your prayers. And when Hunter took off, on my cell phone, I texted a number of these people and I called a couple of them. I said, pray now. Pray now. They began to pray and I came to the driveway, you can go left or right. He said, God, I don't know which way he's gone. He's right. I had no idea what the place was like. And I said, so God, you're going to have to direct. And I took off left. I went down through this campground. I was thinking all these places where a young man might find a place to hide. And man, the skies just blew open. With rain that was so hard that you could not see through the windshield with the windshield wipers on full blast. Do you remember that?
Yep.
And lightning, and I was thinking, God, I don't know what you're going to do. And I was driving down the road, and I see this guy hitchhiking down there. And so as I pull up, I see it's Hunter, and I think, well, if I pull up and tell him to get in the car, that he's going to take off. So I figured I'm in a rental car. He doesn't recognize it. So I pulled up past him like I was stopping to pick him up. And he runs up to the car, and the rain's coming down. And he jumps in the car, and like he said, he was looking down. And he says, oh, thanks for the ride. And I said, so do you want to go to the hotel now? And he's right. He just goes, oh. But that was, again, a response, I believe, of God to the prayers of people. And it was at that moment I knew that God wanted to do something amazing in this young man's life. And it gave me that hope. And he's right. He does tell you to get out of his face and uncertain terms. We had a couple of those conversations along the way as well. And so, Hunter, it's awesome to be able to embrace you as a brother.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sam had something he wanted to say, and then I have a couple closing comments and a song for us to sing at the end here.
Hunter? The first time I heard your name was I got a phone call from this guy. Mm-hmm. He says, look, I need to talk to you about a kid named Hunter. I said, okay, so we talked. The next thing I know, we're coming to prayer meeting, and Stacy's giving us updates. Sunday morning during our prayer time, Wednesday night during our prayer time, where's he at? Where's Hunter at? Well, he's not doing well. Okay, what do we need to pray? Relentless, not only here, but outside. And so we just kept praying and never gave up because we wanted God to intervene. So what this is about a couple things the Lord wanted me to say. Andrea, you love Hunter beyond belief. And you know, God wants you to know, you haven't been in the limelight. Yeah, I've been through this and been through that. But he has seen this. And he is blessing you. He wants you to know that. And it's very important that you know that. And all that support that you've given, there's nothing greater than love. And he wants to demonstrate that to you. Hunter, the last thing is, you know, when the people in the Old Testament left and had victory, like the parting of the Red Sea, and they had what they called a memorial. A lot of times it was rocks, it was a different thing. The difficulty was, later down the road, they forgot. They went back to their old ways. And so God had sent another prophet and saying, you know, you're back to your sinning. You're not honoring me. And they built another altar, and this continued through the whole Testament. So really, God laid it on my heart to do this. This is really important. This is an MVP. Most valuable prayer. This is what God should do. And what he wants is to wear this today, but more importantly, in the future, when you're in hard places or when you're seeking his will, when you want to find out what college you want to go to, whatever it is, not being able to get out of the teen challenge early, prayer is it. It's a memorial. I want you to keep it close to you somewhere. And if it's not physically around, that you image this. But God wants you to remember that a very wise person, very sage person called our pastor, a few weeks ago made this statement. Prayer is the battle. That's where you win it. The battle is won through prayer. So, on behalf of God, most valuable prayer,
keep that somewhere as you journey through your life. Don't forget it. Don't forget where God has done and what he wants to do for you.
Thank you.
Okay, nobody really likes this guy around here. I can tell that right now. In life, everyone has to make decisions along the way. This is true of Hunter. It's true of me. It's true of you. It's true of everyone seated in this room. In our culture, it has become vogue to shun God, to declare that God is dead, to live in a manner that is void of the influence of God. They act as if God has been silent over the generations. Sadly, many of us, if not all of us, at times in our earthly life have experienced that desire to venture outside of God's wisdom and outside of God's will for our lives. And in our adventure, we thought we knew better about life and life dangers than God did. But then we ultimately come to that place where we hit a reality and we found the inevitable that our adventure outside the will of God, though filled with many flowery promises by sin, that what we had really done was stepped into a devil's snare. However, as Hunter shared with us this morning, the reality of the message printed on the front of your bulletin here today, new opportunities, second chances, and getting real with God. This is not a slogan. It's not a catchy phrase or a catchy promo for the church. It is a fact of life which describes the journey that many of us have experienced in our own lives. The need for a second chance, a new opportunity, where we needed God to reach his hand to us in order that we could grab hold of his, that he might pull us up from the pit of despair that we have fallen into. Have you ever been on a road in your life where you knew it wasn't a good one and you were wanting an exit ramp to something new, something better? You've come to the right place. A divine appointment made by God today for you, where God is saying to you that he loves you, that he wants to pour his grace out upon you, that he wants to give you his mercy, and he is stretching his hand out to you, and he's saying, take my hand. I will lift you up. I will walk with you. Not long ago, I had a conversation with a person struggling with a number of issues in his life. Chemical addiction, financial burdens, relationship issues. And he was a rather unhappy person facing many negative consequences in life, including some with the law. During our conversation, he mentioned he thought he needed God, but he had never known God in the past. It was kind of funny, but it wasn't. As he told me the characteristics he wanted in the kind of God he would follow. He said he wanted a God that would be like this and would be like that, and God who treated people in this way and that way, a God who held these values and those values, and he concluded that he would follow that kind of God. And it was at that point in my conversation with him that I asked him, are you really trying to discover God, or are you trying to invent God that fits your lifestyle and your opinions and your values? See, we are the created. He is the creator. We don't invent God. God is who he is. And we don't have the luxury of defining the kind of characteristics that we think God ought to have. God isn't an image that we make up. For lack of a better word, I'm not sure what better word I can use, but God is a person. He is an entity that is established. and he has made his decrees and he has revealed his will. And so our goal as the created is not to invent the creator. The creator has invented us. And as the created, we are to discover the creator and his will and his power and his strength for our lives. In our feeble imaginations, we try and paint portraits of God that suit our own narrative. That God should be like this, God should be like that. Our culture is trying to remake God into our image. And you know, God's having no part of that. I think most of you probably know that an all-powerful, all-wise God, an all-knowing God, one who is infinitely sovereign, is not shaped by the opinions of man. We read in Isaiah 46, again on the front of your bulletin, "To whom would you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh silver on the scale hire a goldsmith and makes it into gold. They bow down. Indeed, they worship it." So get the image here. The people are creating idols out of things and then they set them up there on their mantles and they pray to that idolatrous image as if that idolatrous image is going to be able to answer them. The thing that they have formed with their hand, they're going to pray to it that it might exert its power in their life. And Isaiah is calling the people to a sense of recognition of the foolishness of such a thing. We do not create a God. We do not create an idol and then pray to it and it gives us eternal life and it gives us strength or help in our time of need. No, we bow before the God who is truly the creator, the author and finisher of the faith, the one who is all powerful and all knowing and all wise. It is to that God that we pray because he has the ability and the capability of answering our prayers and intersecting our lives in our most desperate times. And he stretches his hand to us to lift us out of the miry clay. Do we pray to the God that can't remove itself from our mantle? We have to literally pick it up and dust under it? Is that the kind of God we serve, the one that we had invented? Or do we serve the one who has invented us and created us and made us? And that is where the hope is. That is where the power is. Amen, Hunter? That is where the strength is found. And I don't know what your need might be here today. I don't know at what level you might know God. But I want you to know that God loves you. And he wants to write his story in your life as he has written his story in Hunter's life. I want you to know there's hope. There's hope because there is a living God who has brought to us eternal life through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it would be my honor to be able to talk to you more about that Savior, about that God, about that one who offers to you his strength and power in your most desperate time of need, the one who truly loves you and has given himself for you. I'm going to ask the music team to come back, and as they do, I want you to reflect on those words on the back of your bulletin from the sound off. What is our problem? It is sin. It has separated us from God. And for that sin, there is the eternal consequence that we are separated from God for all of eternity. But the good news is that God has paid the price, and he has offered to you the gift of salvation. And as we celebrate the fact that we are children of God, I invite you that if you're not a child of God, that if you cannot say in your heart that if I were to die tonight, that I would be certain that I could go to heaven, that I would go to heaven, if you can't answer that question, I'd love the opportunity to tell you how you can know for certain that heaven is your home, that God is your heavenly Father, and that you have power when you pray because you pray to a Father who loves you. Let's stand together and sing and celebrate. Hunter, this is a celebration for you. And Andrea. It's not an easy step to challenge the sin that besets you. It was a difficult struggle for Hunter, difficult struggle for you, but we want to help and we want to be of assistance. And if we can pray for you today, you need to make some kind of decision today. We're here. I'll be in front as we finish out this song. Feel free to step out, take my hand, say, Pastor, I need to pray.
To feel.
our Father for your amazing grace and mercy, for your wonderful love. And we know that as Hunter is set out upon this journey with you, that the enemy still has an arsenal in his belt. And it'll be his desire to take down what you are establishing in Hunter's life. But by the power of God, we ask that you would build a hedge of protection around Hunter, that you will give him strength to remain steadfast and firm in the truth, and that indeed, as he has been presented with this token, this memorial of most valuable prayer, that it would remind him to turn back to you in that most desperate time of need and temptation, that he would find his strength in you, that he would find his source in you. And we look forward to what you are going to do in this young man's life in the future days. We ask that you would use him as your continued instrument of righteousness to touch the lives of many with the truth that can set free. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We invite you, we have some fellowship food, cake and stuff out here. Stick around, talk to your friends, enjoy the day.